Alexei Torres grew up in a place where people struggled to put food on the table for their families. A place where parents worked at any job they could find, no matter how menial. She grew up in a time, also, when people's rage about their circumstances often expressed itself in the furious lighting of fires. As a little girl, she would look out the window of her family's ninth floor apartment and see clouds of billowing black smoke, a sign that some part of the neighborhood was burning again. Alexei was very much loved by her family and her neighbors, and she loved them deeply in return. As she grew older, however, she started to become aware that society had names for the place where she lived. It was the ghetto, and she was living in something called poverty. She began to understand that being poor and being at risk was something bad according to society's standards. She began to believe that in order to be considered a success in the world, she needed to escape her community. And so she did. While she was still in her 20s, she attained a well-paying job and she moved to a different neighborhood, a much more acceptable neighborhood, a place where the view was of the river, not the smoldering public housing projects. But after a few years, Alexei began to realize that her heart felt empty and she was lonely. She began to visit her family and her old friends back in the old neighborhood, and she began to worship with her old church once more. And she soon learned that in the years while she had been away, her home community had been inundated by crack houses. Luckily, she says, my church tradition does not believe the church is a place to hide out in, or a place to simply pray to make it to heaven while all your neighbors are living in hell. The church was determined to do something about the drugs and the crack houses, and Alexei decided that she would join in. One Sunday afternoon, a couple of hundred people marched peacefully through the streets, carrying signs that said, drugs hurt everyone, and stop the drugs in our community. It might seem like a modest endeavor, but it was enough to attract the attention of the dealers. 2 weeks later, the church was set on fire and burned to the ground. When Alexei heard about this attack, this arson, she went immediately to the scene and found that hundreds of other church members were also gathered there, weeping over the devastation. Someone from the news media stuck a microphone into Alexei's face and demanded to know, what are you going to do now? The truth was that Alexei didn't have a plan, but in that moment, she thought, faithful people of God do not just weep over broken buildings. They weep over broken communities and broken lives. We're going to march again, Alexei answered. Alexei didn't know if anybody would come, because as word got out about the second march, so did threats of violence against the crowd. She wasn't quite sure how the march might convey a message of unity and compassion to brothers and sisters caught in drug addiction, so that they might sense a helping hand rather than a word of condemnation. But she and others went ahead with their plans. When the day of the march came, 1,200 people showed up. They were mothers pushing baby strollers, young people, old people, immigrants, pregnant teenagers, everyone, in other words, that she had somehow been taught to think of as powerless, unsuccessful, and unimportant. But Alexei noticed that nobody in suits, nobody from the so-called successful or powerful segment of society had come to join in this effort to stand up to the oppressive and life-destroying forces allied with crack cocaine. Suddenly, she saw, looking at those 1,200 people, she saw that power is the dignity and the self-determination you claim or discover as a gift from God for your own life and community. Her greatest joy that day was walking alongside her father, a man who'd been homeless as an immigrant teenager, a deli worker and a dishwasher in his young adult years, a custodian and a maintenance man as he raised his family, and along the way had endured and survived his own struggle with alcoholism. That day was an answer to prayer. Specifically, it was an answer to this prayer. I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of God's glory, God may grant that you be strengthened in your inner being with power through the Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you might have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to the one who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to that one be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. It's Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, a prayer written centuries ago for us. It was first addressed to the church in Ephesus, but it was included in the Bible because it is a prayer that is valid in every time and every place. A prayer which speaks eloquently of the amazing fulfillment that is possible in our lives and possible in the world when we trust ourselves to God's care and guidance and empowerment. It's a prayer that can be answered in real and specific ways, as the story of Alexi and her family and her community demonstrates. The prayer is for us, just as it has been and is for many others, because we are the church today. We are the ones who now need our inner being to be strengthened by the power of God's Spirit. We are the ones who now need to experience and be filled at every level with Christ's amazing and expansive love. The person who wrote this prayer had been reflecting on the wonderful reality that God includes all people within the scope of God's grace and mercy and love. The writer is thrilled to learn that Christ has broken down dividing walls, and no longer are we separated from them or they from us. Those who were once far off are now welcomed in, and it's been revealed that we are all of equal worth and value to God. In profound gratitude, then, the writer falls to his or her knees and prays that we all might fully experience and take in this awe-inspiring, invigorating, and life-shaping love, which is beyond all previous imaginings. One person reading this prayer is particularly touched by the image of Christ dwelling in our hearts. She thinks about this and is prompted to ask, are we behaving like the Dursleys, the fictional Harry Potter's now famous relatives, who can find the one who should have been an honored guest and beloved member of the family to a cramped cupboard underneath the stairs? Are we expecting Christ to keep himself locked in the guest room that we provided, his presence barely tolerated, not changing or enriching our lives in any way? She hopes that she and we will let go of our resistance to Jesus and allow his love to bless and transform us. Another person reads this prayer and is inspired by the metaphor that we and our faith community are like a plant rooted and grounded in love. How excellent, he observes, that we are being rooted and grounded in love, not in fear and self-preservation. And it's true. Hypothetically, available soil could include bitterness and resentment, anger and self-righteousness, violence and alienation, hatred and mistrust. But God, our God, is seeing to it that we are being planted, rooted and grounded in love, giving us the potential to grow healthy and strong, to blossom and bear fruit. If need be, God might even be transplanting us so that we who were once stunted and withering due to lack of nutrients now can have opportunity for new and joyful life. A third and fourth person puzzle over an apparent oxymoron in verses 18 and 19 of this prayer. How is it possible, they wonder, to know something that surpasses knowledge? How is it possible to comprehend a breadth and a length and a height and a depth that cannot be measured? It must be a gift, they conclude. It must be something that we receive, not something that we figure out or discover on our own. They turn to a friend for a description of how this happens. And the friend explains, revelation means the moment in our history through which we know ourselves to be known from beginning to end, in which we are apprehended by the knower. It is God knowing us that helps us to become aware of and be strengthened by the limitlessness of God's love. We can thank Karen and Edwin and George and Paul and Richard for mining such nuggets of truth and possibility. This prayer can really work in us and really work on us. What might our faith be like? What might our lives become if we grow conscious of this prayer being prayed for us and through us? Anne Lamott describes being drawn over and over again to a little church in her neighborhood at a time when her life was pretty much completely messed up, and she never would have identified herself as a follower of Jesus. It was as if, on those Sunday mornings, people were singing in between the notes of their hymns and gospel songs, she writes. It was as if the people were singing in between the notes, weeping and joyful at the same time. I felt like their voices, or something, was rocking me in its bosom, holding me like a scared kid. And I opened up to that feeling, and it washed over me. Anne did not write the words of the song that I would like to introduce to you today, but the verses and the chorus describe an experience that is very similar to Anne's. It's the experience of being held, being rocked, being carried, being strengthened, feeling at peace, knowing yourself to be lifted and sustained by love. The song is called My Life Flows On, and its refrain is, how can I keep from singing? As Pat and Leanne begin to share this song with us, we might imagine that the singer has, in fact, according to the riches of God's glory, been strengthened in his or her inner being to face the challenges, the struggles, and the sorrows that life can bring. Even when all is not yet right with the world, the singer hears a far-off melody which testifies to the width and the length and the depth and the height of God's love. What a gift! Listening to that distant tune, a person can somehow grasp that God's love has the power to carry the world and carry the individual forward. The singer joins in the song, growing stronger through the expression of faith offered by these words, sinking roots deeper into the ground of love. This prayer is meant for each of us, individually and collectively. You may be sick. You may be scared. You may be frustrated by your search for a job or as you look for some way to handle a difficult situation. You may feel confused and powerless in the face of some overwhelming problem. You may feel worn out. On the other hand, perhaps you are experiencing new joy, new energy, and new possibility in your life. Whatever the state of your heart, mind, body, and soul, hear these words for your life. You, your family, your tribe, your lineage, you belong to God. God radiates light and truth and goodness. You belong to God. May God's Spirit powerfully strengthen your inner being. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith. Thanks be to God, you are growing in a place of perfect love. May you, along with all the followers of God's way, be granted the grace to comprehend the astoundingly deep and high and wide and long love of Christ Jesus, love which goes beyond our usual ways of knowing. May you be filled with all the qualities, peace and mercy, compassion and rightness, all the qualities of God. May God fill you completely. The power of God goes way beyond anything we are able to ask or imagine. As God works within you, astonishing things happen. To God be the glory. Holy God, we bow our heads and open our hands before you because your grace and power has made us aware of the generous gift of your love for us and for all people. We know, Lord, that we have a tendency to think too small and believe too little. And so we ask that as you forgive us, you also continue to move us forward in faith. Many times, O God, we have seen that you are able to accomplish far more than we can even dream. And so may we not lose heart when hard times come. Keep our minds and hearts open to what you would have us do and be in service to you and to your unfolding creation. We thank you for teaching us to draw on the courage you give us to meet each moment of every day. We join now in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.